Good morning to one and all. I'm so happy to be coming your way with a short gospel message. I hope you will devote some time to Bible reading as we deal with the book of Job. First, this text. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job 1:1. So often in the great struggle of this universe, we're prone to ask the question, why this or that? And it is only human to ask questions, since we cannot always see the full purpose of God for our lives. But He has three reasons for us to learn in our school of struggles upon the battlefields of life. One, that we may learn to walk by faith. Two, that we may learn the truth through great experiences on the battlefields of life. Three, that we may be a help to others going through similar battles. And so we find that life is a battle, a school, a struggle from the cradle to the grave. There are lessons to be learned, temptations to be resisted, struggles to be endured, tests to be met, opportunities to be embraced, and experiences to be had which will help us grow strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And all the while, we find there are helps along the way. We have a Savior to befriend us, a Bible to comfort and inspire us, the Holy Spirit to guide us, prayer to uplift and strengthen us, friends to love us, God's family, the Church of God, to minister to our needs, spiritual songs to inspire us, opportunities to be of service, and God's hand to bless all for our good. God is ever seeking to build men and women with a strong faith in Him. And in order to do so, they must pass the test of His school. To become a farmer, one must get hold of the plow and actually use it to turn the sod. Reading books on agriculture alone will never make a farmer. To know truth, one must experience it. One must get out on the battlefields of life and have experiences to know truth more fully. One may read all the books ever published on the Bible and spiritual living, but this alone will not acquaint him with God. God's power, deliverance, guidance, and comfort come through experiences. When one has walked up the hill of sacrifice with his Isaac and finds a lamb in the thicket for the sacrifice, then he knows God will provide. When one has lost his Joseph and finally bids even his Benjamin goodbye and travels on with God through years of painful sacrifice until finally he finds his Joseph, who has been kept and preserved by the providence of the Lord, and again clasp his Benjamin to his heart in comfort and consolation, then does he know the wonders of God's never-failing power and care. When one stands at his Red Sea with mountains on either side, with a host of Pharaoh pressing down the valley in pursuit, and sees a path open through the waters, then does one know the glorious deliverance of God. As one meets some great Goliath of temptation and selects smooth stones of truth and hurls them into his brow and sees them fall beneath his feet, then does he know how God makes right to triumph. As one is in his lion's den and sees the angels close their mouths, as one is in his fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than it was wont to be heated, and finds the form of the fourth by his side, and comes forth without the smell of fire on his garments, then does he really know God's mighty protecting hand. As one has his Philippian jail experience, sings his song at midnight, prays his prayer of triumph, and feels the jail tremble, finds his jail doors open and is led forth by his delivering angel, then does he know how great God is as a deliverer. When one has met God on many battlefields and experienced his protecting love and care through storms and sunshine, when one has been through sorrows and has known his sweet comfort, when one has had his fiery trials and has known the never-failing consolations of his grace, when one has had bitter experiences of disappointments and has learned the great precious lessons of life under God's patient and tender care, then, when that soldier of the cross meets God face to face, they will need no introduction to him. We know him now, for we have met him in storm and tempest and on life's battlefields. We will not be strangers then. I believe we can come to the place where we think not strange of fiery trials, but know God is working out everything for our good because we love him. It is wonderful to patiently face life's storms and be ever conscious that God never forgets. All things do work together for good to those who love God. Some folks refuse to face the realities of life and become complainers and murmurers because of what others do. It is wonderful to keep going on and on, even though we suffer and cannot understand. It pays to refuse to be discouraged. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Psalms 103:13-14. In order that we may have a record of someone passing through the tests and struggles of life with victory, we have given to us the book of Job. Job went through the test, such as is known to the human spirits. In it he was patient and trusted God. Let us now consider the 7 tests of Job. First, the test of prosperity. So few successfully endure this test, but Job was devout and faithful even in wealth. Often those who may successfully make it through poverty fail when prosperity comes. Few people can stand prosperity. Job was wealthy. He had vast estates and many servants. He was held in high esteem. People did not thoughtlessly rush into his presence. They whispered when he was present. He was considered the greatest man in the East. Yet with all his prosperity, he remained humble, thoughtful, and worshipful. He was devoted to his family. He had them constantly on his heart. Wealth did not hide his dear ones from his heart or affections. Did you know the love of money is the root of all evil? 1 Timothy 6:10. And there is a great restlessness which accompanies those who are caught up in its clutches. So many, if given the choice of their desires, would readily say, "Give me more wealth, more land, more oil fields," not realizing they would be asking this to their own hurt and destruction. Such a turn of affairs would certainly ruin many families and homes, as has been proven in the past. Many years ago, a certain man named Hart P. Danks lived happily with his wife and children. It is reported they were a very happy couple. He was a songwriter. They had visions of journeying down the pathway of life and of growing old together. He wrote the song, "Silver Threads Among the Gold," and dedicated it to his wife. It was a big hit. Royalties began to roll in. Dissensions arose and separation followed. He was found dead, kneeling beside his bed. On an old copy of the song he had written, "It's Hard to Grow Old Alone." He was living alone in a rooming house in Philadelphia. The song had brought riches to the home of the Danks, but with that prosperity came grief. Peace and happiness had fled. The family was ruined with prosperity. This is only one example. there are many more. A family, a city, a nation cannot last as a money-making mob going on without regard to the word of the Lord. It will certainly come to ruin and destruction. Rome did. They were mad with pleasures and riches, but it did not last. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy 6:9. Job stood this test of wealth. He was not taken by it, but I believe used it to the glory of God. Money can be a blessing if used wisely. Listen, I am money, dug from the mountainside, washed in the glen. Servant am I, or the master of men. Steal me, I curse you. Earn me, I bless you. Grasp me and hoard me, a fiend shall possess you. Lie for me, die for me. Covet me, take me, angel or devil. I am what you make me, money. The second test for Job was adversity. Job went from wealth to poverty in such a short time. This within itself would be a sore trial. There are many who have had similar experiences. By hard work and toil, they've saved a few dollars or even thousands of dollars. Then in ways for which they were not wholly responsible, they lost it all, or nearly so. The banks go down. A friend proves untrue and unfaithful. They stand by a friend only to be crushed beneath his feet. Storms, hail, fire, drought, or perhaps sickness destroys their little nest egg. Men toil early and late to get something for their families or to lay up for old age. And it's taken from them without warning. Thus, they are caught up in the midst of adversity. Then what are they going to do? Forsake God? Turn away from the right? No, not Job. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job 1:21-22. Again and again the crash comes in one way or another. Then the struggler must pull his belt a little tighter, swallow the lump in his throat, brush away a tear perhaps, give his companion an encouraging word, and bravely go ahead with no thought of giving up the Lord. To forsake the Lord is utter folly. In this broad field of experience, there are great lessons to be learned. Year in and year out, the struggle to make an honest living requires courage to go on, and the real test of life. Time has allowed us to cover only two of these seven tests of Job. So we will continue comments on Job another time. Be sure to keep listening. We surely do appreciate those who help us keep the messages going forth. May they indeed prove a blessing. Our Father, we are so thankful that the dear man of ancient times, Job, didn't fail the Lord in the tests of life. Help us, who have even more light and encouragement, to be faithful in all our tests. Bless each listener this day and the which they need, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.